ارسلوا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء. ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وإن منكم إلا واردها كان على ربك حتما مقضيا. ثم ننجي الذين اتقوا ونذر الظالمين فيها جثيا. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد.
We were talking about the muhasabatun nafs and holding ourselves accountable over our deeds and correcting, self-correcting ourselves, which is one of the best ways to achieve the spiritual purification, because Quran says بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرَةٌ وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَاذِيرَةٌ. And we learn in the light of this verse that a human knows best about himself. He's aware about his own self. Even though he may furnish excuses, everyone knows very well what he or she has done, and no one knows better than your own self. No one among the regular human beings knows better than your own self what you have done. So it's our responsibility to hold ourselves accountable. And our discussion reached the stage of As-Sirat, the bridge. And after the bridge is the place where people will now head towards the paradise. And the bridge is one of those hardest moments in the life of a human. And bridge itself, I was telling you the narration from Abdullah ibn Abbas, the student of Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, where he has mentioned the stage of bridge has seven crossovers. And in those seven he mentions, and we talked about four of those yesterday. The first stage, its first crossing belongs to the Iman, of a person, which means how and how well did we behave towards the imamat and walayat of our imams. So question number one that will be asked there. It is a responsibility, a fundamental responsibility of a father and a mother to make sure our children realize their responsibility towards the imamat of the imam. And when we happen to do that, then we will definitely, each step of our way, we will be striving to please the imam of our time. And this is going to happen only if we learn to disassociate ourselves from the enemies of Ahlul Bayt ahead of announcing that we love them. Isn't it right? Just like a person came to Imam Ali alayhi salam and said that inni uhibbuka wa uhibbu fulanan wa fulanan wa samma ba'dha a'da'ihi. A person came to Imam Ali alayhi salam and said, I love you, but I also love, and he mentioned two names from the names of the enemies of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And look at the response of Imam Ali alayhi salam for this scenario. He says, أَمَّا الْآن فَأَنْتَ أَعْوَر. As for now, right now, you are blind from one eye. فَإِمَّا أَن تَعْمَى وَإِمَّا أَن تُبْصِر. Which means that this situation is not going to continue like that. You would either end up becoming blind with both the eyes, either they're going to pull you towards their side, isn't it right? Totally following the Imam of Batil. Or you will end up following the Imam of Haqq, the 12 Imams, and then you will end up becoming, having your vision there for both the eyes. These people who have been supporting one way or the other the enemies of Ahlul Bayt and the Zalimeen towards the Imamat of Ahlul Bayt, they will be resurrected blind on the Day of Judgment. Because they used to be blind. Like I said yesterday, there's nothing new going to happen on the Day of Judgment. All which has already happened would appear upon us, the ignorance. It was already apparent on Allah, known to Allah, known to the prophets and imams, and known, a lot of that is known to our Urafa as well. But we, the ignorance, did not discover, and it will be obvious upon us. Nothing new is going to happen. These people were blind. So that's what we learned. The real blindness is not with the blindness of our eyesight. The real blindness is being blind at heart. This is one of the benefits of believing in the imamat and walayat of the 12 imams. Please say salawat. And the second crossing over the sirat stage is that of the salat, which we also discussed. And then it's about the zakat, which means the Islamic taxes, all inclusive. Ihtimalan, the literal meaning, which includes all the Islamic taxes like fitrah and khums, isn't it right? So, and then about fasting. About the fasting issue, I would definitely like to mention one point, important point, before I move forward, because there's a common problem that we find in some of the religious households, that they stop their growing children to do the fasting in their early age of bulugh. Isn't it right? You find the mother or the father are the ones who stop the daughter or the son, you know, from fasting because you're too young. My son, my daughter, you're too young to fast. This is not considered to be loving your son or daughter. As a matter of fact, this is Just like as if you leave your son, you take your son or daughter out there in the cold and when it's snowing, and you leave your son without a sweater or a jacket. Actually, it's worse than that. Isn't it right? Because if you leave your son or daughter out there in the cold and icy cold weather without a sweater or a jacket, what's going to happen? What worse can happen? You would catch cold, isn't it right? There's still, we have cure. It's not like cancer, which doesn't have a cure, isn't it right? It's not that big of a deal. But if you leave your son without fasting or daughter without fasting, it's like you keep your son without the shield from the hellfire. So now the mother or the father is intentionally exposing the son or daughter into the hellfire without providing her with the shield. This is what the Prophet has said, that's asawmu junnatum minan nar. Fasting is a shield from the hellfire. The fastings that you do, that's what protects you. This protects you from the flames of the hellfire reaching you. So when you are stopping in the name of love, in the name of caring about your son and daughter, you are actually subjecting your child to the flames of the hellfire and taking away the body armor that would have protected him or her. This is something which is obviously requires improvement, so that we don't abuse our status of father and mother. This is called abuse. Isn't it? That's a child abuse. We have different definitions of child abuse. So the next crossing over the stage of Sirat that we are discussing, and we want to hold ourselves accountable before we reach that stage. So the next crossing belongs to Hajj and Umrah. If you happen to earn an amount of money that suffices for performing Hajj and Umrah, but you save it for something else and you don't go for it. Now this is obviously haram. If you delay the Hajj from the year when it becomes wajib, it's compulsory on a person to go for Hajj in the first year when it becomes wajib, when you are mustati and capable of going. Delaying the Hajj to a second year is a bigger sin in Islam, and we cannot do that. We don't have the right to do that. So it's very important that we remember that the duty of Hajj has to be performed in the same year. When it's such a great feeling, just going for Hajj, you find, you know, you perform all those ibadat around the Holy Kaaba, which stands for the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stands for the ikhlas towards and sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking off all your regular clothes and wrapping around yourself two pieces of cloth similar to what we will be wrapped around with when we would be laid in our graves and will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment in a similar clothes. Isn't it right? And leaving behind all of our material attachments and classes of the society. This guy wears brand name shirts and pants because he's a rich guy, isn't it right? Drive such and such car, you are what you drive. That's what they say in the West, isn't it right? Leaving all those silly things beside, and just leaving all those attachments away from you, and every single person coming to the Hajj obviously is so-called rich person because he can afford it. So Allah is calling a conference of the rich only, those who can make a difference in the society. The rich people can make a difference because there's a limited piece of pie. You don't have unlimited resources. Nothing of the material world is unlimited. And everything of the metaphysical world is unlimited. So including the money here is limited. Limited resources. Those who have, those who grab on those to those resources ahead of the rest will make a difference in the life of others, positively or negatively. Isn't it right? So you are invited, if you have the money, you are invited to do your task, your assignment. And when you do perform all those things, you know, we are supposed to do our Hajj in a way what our Urafa say, Hajjun Ibrahimi, in the style of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. So what we are supposed to do? Not just a regular hut that you go and you sit in your tents and you relax in five-star hotels only and ignore your duties towards Imam of the time. This is what Imam Khomeini, the one that I used to say, that biduna bara'at hajj ma hajj nist. If you go for hajj and you do not perform the rally of bara'at from mushrikeen upon the sunnat of Amirul Mu'mineen, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. He's the one who did the rally, isn't it right? He's the one who recited Surah At-Tawbah, which we also call Surah Al-Bara'at without the Bismillah. He's the one who recited upon the hukum of Allah and the hukum of Rasulullah. He's the one who did that announcement of Bara'at of the Surah At-Tawbah, is doing the, announcing your disassociation and condemning of the mushrikeen, not only mushrikeen of yesterday, but mushrikeen of today. Announcing your Bara'at towards the mushrikeen of today is the hukum of Allah and the hukum of the Messenger and the sunnat of Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam. That we have basically, forgotten the sunnat. And he made it alive. That's why we remember, keep on recalling and quoting him. Was there any human on the planet who told you ahead of Imam Khomeini to do the rally of Bara'at of Mushrikeen? I'm not running away from what I said. Till my last day of life. Till my last day on this earth, if you can provide me a name of a human in our contemporary times who told us ahead of Imam Khomeini to hold the rally towards the Bara'at of Mushrikeen, announcing disassociation from the Mushrikeen.
If anyone else told us ahead of him, let me know. I'm not running away.
Isn't it right? Man lam yashkur al makhluq lam yashkur al khaliq. Rasulullah has said, whoever did not thank the creature did not thank the creator.
This is the sunnah of Imam Ali Rasulullah that we have forgotten, isn't it right? People go there and they relax in their tents and they don't bother.
They don't bother to announce the bara'at from the mushrikeen. Why are you here? Why did you bother to come here? You would have better stayed in your Beverly Hills condo. If you don't want to do the way Allah has commanded, the way Prophet has asked you, the way Imam Ali has done the Hajj, the way Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam did the Hajj, the founder of Kaaba, why bother to do it? Just leave it. Do one thing, but do it right. Don't do it. He's the one who said, "Uffin lakum walima ta'buduna min dunillah." That's the Hajjun Ibrahimi, that he is condemning those people who are worshipping the idols and what they worship other than Allah. You have to announce your bara'at from the mushrikeen and the enemies. That's what Hajj is all about. Every Hajj, my teacher said, every Hajj in which you perform your duties to what as Allah has prescribed towards the Imam of the time and towards the enemies of the Imam of the time, every Hajj that you perform is considered to be Al-Hajjul Akbar. You don't have to wait for the time, for the year when the Hajj is going to fall on a Friday to be called Al-Hajjul Akbar, the greatest Hajj. No, we don't believe like this. So this is something that we need to do, isn't it right? And such a great feeling when you are in the Maidan of Arafat, just a small piece of land, and for sure Imam Sahib Zaman Islam is available in the same piece of small land at the time when you are available. Because Imam alayhi salam comes for Hajj every single year. Isn't that a great feeling? If somebody tells you that Imam alayhi salam is in this hall right now, how would you feel? The person for whom the whole universe is created and the whole universe is revolving around him and is subservient to his commands, and the commander-in-chief of the universe is right now in this hall. If somebody says that to you, how would you feel? What a great opportunity for me to say salam and to fall on his feet and seek forgiveness for myself.
Isn't it right? Imam alayhi salam is definitely available in the Maidan of Arafat at the time you are available for Hajj. And definitely in the night and at the time when it is compulsory to stay in Mash'arul Haram in Muzdalifah, when it's compulsory, Imam is also there in the same little area of Muzdalifah. Likewise in Mina, such a great feeling. Please say salawat. And the next crossing over the bridge of Sirat is Silatul Rahim. That means, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to follow these teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Silatul Rahim in one of the most glorious acts of ibadat and worship of Allah. It provides so much nuraniyat for the qalb. And then from the hadith of Imam Rida alayhi salatu wa salam. Staying in touch with your relatives, Silatul Rahim. Not breaking away from your relatives. Qati'atul Rahim, breaking away is haram, is a bigger sin. So from the hadith of our 8th Imam, we learn that how much it happens, how many times it happens, a person has 1 year of his life remaining and he performs Silatul Rahim. I mean, paying a visit to your relatives. You can once in a while call them, send an email to them, isn't it right? Text them, isn't it right? Pay a visit to them. If they are sick, you pay a visit. Otherwise, you can also pay a visit for any other reason. Staying in touch one way or the other, not breaking away from your relatives. You know, so if Imam is telling us how many a times it happens, a person has only 1 year of his life remaining, but he pays a visit. The Imam says he stays in touch, performs Silatul Rahim. That means stays in touch with his relatives. For example, you visited your cousin, your faraway cousin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds 330 years into the life of that person. And Imam says, how many times it happens that a person has 30 years of his life remaining and he breaks away from his relative and he dies. That means instead of finishing the 30 years, he dies straight away. This is about Silatul Rahim. It's a confirmed fact. That Silatul Rahim tazidu fil umr. It increases in the age of a person. These are our values, isn't it right? It provides, the nuraniyat to the qalb of a person. Please say salawat. And the last thing which relates to the sirat is about the madhalimul ibad. The zulm and oppressions that people do towards each other. Those who belong to kufr and nifaq, they have a direct flight towards Jahannam. So that's what our scholars say, Yawmul Qiyamah, Day of Judgment actually doesn't belong to them. They already have a direct flight. Kufr and nifaq takes a person, lands him directly to the hell. So actually, it won't be a wrong to say that Day of Judgment belongs to the Mu'mineen. It's the Mu'mineen who will be held accountable on the Day of Judgment. For Kufr and Nifaq, there's nothing left to be held accountable for. They already messed up. So the Day of Judgment belongs to the followers, the Mu'mineen, the believers. It's believers who are doing these kinds of behaviors towards each other, isn't it right? Borrowing loan, qarz from somebody, not paying back. This is extremely condemned. The narration tells us a person will be resurrected in the Day of Judgment. He has his prayers, he has his sadaqah, charity, isn't it right? That's what the people say, I do a lot of charity work, so I'm a very nice guy. They ignore their own faults that they are doing and they just pick up one or few of the good things that they are doing and ignoring the rest of the bad deeds. It's hard, Some people have this thing and they have this ujb and khudpasandi. Our scholars say you take a horse, you take a horse towards the riverfront. You want to cross the river with a horse, It happened in the story, this guy, he was trying to cross, the horse is not ready to step. He's avoiding.
There was one experienced guy standing close to him. He said, "You shut the eyes of the horse. His eyes are open. It's not going to cross. Because when horse goes there into the river, into the stream, he sees his own face. He's not going to step over it. You close his eyes and it will move smoothly." This is exactly the example that our scholars of akhlaq give in about talking about the ujb and khudpasandi. A person never focuses on his own faults, ignores his own personal faults, and is ready to pinpoint other people's faults, isn't it right? And consider himself to be so good. You can never cross, you can never move forward as long as you are seeing yourself. You can move forward when you stop seeing yourself. That's where you can advance. So people have, person will be resurrected on the day of judgment, he has his prayers, his sadaqah and all that, but he didn't pay back the loan of a person. He'll be sent towards the hell. And the angels would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obviously when they would see the person is like this, so this is how obviously when a person doesn't take care, they will be replied back that he did not take care of the huququn nas, the rights of the people. This is what we are talking about right now, mazalimul ibad, rights of the people. In the time of Rasulullah, a Jewish guy came demanding some money. In Kitab al-Hayat, it is narrated. Some of the occasions we find even Imam Ali al-Salam borrowed some loan from some Jews, isn't it right? And he came next to Rasulullah, he asked to, you know, his own money. And some of the ashab who were present there, they started yatahaddadunahu wa yatawa'adunahu. The narration says, people started to threaten him. This is not right. A person comes to get his own money back, and these ashab, if the Prophet was not the Prophet, if some sinner like us, we would have been feeling so good because we have a bunch of supporters. But what in Farsi they say, murid bazi. Isn't it right? Murid bazi. You have a bunch of followers and you start feeling good about it. Whatever they may do, even if they do wrong, you still feel good because you have your followers with you. The Prophet is like not like that. And if a bunch of people who are on his side is doing the wrong, he would take a stand against his own people. Doesn't care, he cares about Allah. So Prophet stops them from what they are threatening this Jewish person, and he says to his own ashab, لَمْ يَبْعَثْنِي رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِأَنْ أَظْلِمَ مُعَاهِدًا وَلَا غَيْرَهُ. Allah did not send me to do zulm over a mu'ahid, a non-Muslim who has entered into a covenant and contract with the Muslims is called mu'ahid. Either towards a mu'ahid or anyone else. I'm not here to do zulm on anyone else. Anybody is in other words. So this is how we are supposed to be taking care of the rights of the people. And some people are such that they leave it in their wasiyat for their children. You know, my son, I didn't pay back this much amount for this. Well, it's very good, first of all, to write down in your wasiyat. That's very good. As compared to the situation when you didn't write down and the children don't know nothing about it, how would they take care of it? Your inheritance cannot be distributed until and unless the hukukun nas, rights of the people, are first given to them. Isn't it right? So, but some people write it down and then they are asking, they're expecting their children. Now it depends on the adab and adab and etiquettes and akhlaq of the children. How much adab and etiquettes and Islamic morals you provided to your children. There's a story a teacher was telling, had this person, you know, he came in the dream of his son. My son, I am in barzakh and I, you know what, I have to pay 500 to such and such person. Would you please go and pay him to him? The son replies back in the dream, who are you? I don't think you are my father. Can you imagine? The son denies. I don't think you are my father. If you really are my father, he knows he's the father. He doesn't want to pay away 500. He says, I don't think you are my father. My father wasn't like this, in other words. You know, if you are really my father, show me some sign. He said, okay, some sign. If you remember, we did the painting of the house a while ago And I was painting and one of my aqiq got stuck in the paint over the wall. You remember that? He said, yeah, I do. Now you are my father. So not every son is like this, who's going to pay off your loan if you, you know, if you didn't do that. So the best thing, brothers and sisters, the hadith says, خَيْرُ مَا وَرَّثَ الْآبَاءُ الْأَبْنَاءَ الْأَدَبُ. The best what the parents can leave behind is adab. It means Islamic morality. Not how much money you can leave behind. You can leave behind the money for, you know, for 1 year of the expenses of your children as well. Isn't it right? Comfortably. But the point is that that's not the best thing. The best thing that you can leave behind is what sort of moral teachings you have provided to your children. Salawat. After the Jamaat, the Holy Prophet asked his ashab, is there anyone from the Ta'ifa of Bani Najjar clan? In Arabic we have a Ta'ifa, which is way bigger, and we have Ashira, which is smaller, and we have Qabila, which is smaller, isn't it right? So we have Qaba'il and Asha'ir and Tawa'if. Tawa'if includes all the Ta'ifa, means all those various big, huge family clans all together. So Bani Najjar is a famous clan. And Prophet asked, is there anybody from that clan? And a bunch of people said, yeah, we are from Bani Najjar. Prophet said, a person of your clan, in other words, he became shaheed. And Jibreel came on me that this guy is being kept waiting at the door of paradise. See, despite the fact that he became shaheed fi sabilillah, that's a different thing. That's hukukullah. Giving away your life for the sake of Allah, it relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and affairs towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's nothing to do with hukukun nas. Don't even think your hukukun nas would be forgiven just because even if you sacrifice your entire life for the sake of Allah. Hukukun nas are not mixed with hukukullah. He's being kept, Jibreel came and the Prophet and says, he's being kept at the door of paradise and not being allowed to enter because he owes 2 dirhams to a Yahudi guy. 2 dirhams, what's the value of 2 dirhams? Anything which has a value carries a value in the eyes of Allah, isn't it right? Even though it may be less. So, to set your person free from the captivity of that Jew, Prophet says, set your person free from his captivity, he said once. So this is how we are actually held captives. How much Islam is asking us to, to not just that, we have a story, this is about 2 dirhams. We have a story that a teacher was telling about a person. He borrowed 34 cents and he comes in the dream of a scholar and said, you know, I'm still stuck. It's 30 years passing by from the time I died. And he asks, I'm still stuck. Because, you know, I borrowed, I'm supposed to pay 34 cents to such and such shop. The scholar woke up from the dream on the day he practically, physically walked all the way to that, precisely to that shop and inquired from the person, you know, because dreams are not hujjat in Islam, isn't it right? It doesn't oblige you to do nothing. So in order to verify whether it's the right dream, correct dream or not, he physically went to the shop and he knew the shop that was described by the person in the dream. He went there, asked the shopkeeper, do you remember such and such person? Is there anything he owes to you? And he opens up his register, and he finds, yes, it was 34 cents. So now he discovers the dream is true. Not about just 2 dirhams, even 34 cents. Imam al-Khomeini was coming to teach his Dars al-Kharij, Bahs al-Kharij in Qum. And in Madrasa Al-Faydiyya, the historic madrasa next to the Haram of Ma'suma of Qum, salamullah alayha, that's where he used to teach. And Madrasa of Ayatullah al-Uzma, Muhaqqiq Fayd Al-Kashani, rahmatullah alayhi, who founded that Madrasa Al-Faydiyya. And when he was about to enter, he saw a bunch of students who were waiting. Sometimes, you know, students are standing outside the study hall waiting for the teacher to come.
And as soon as they saw he's coming, they all rushed into the room. And as they were rushing, he saw they were stepping. Some of the students were stepping over the shoes of the people. Seems very small things that we don't notice. Isn't it right? Not an arif, not a mudarris of akhlaq, not a teacher who is that pious and pure, and you have tazkiyat nafs. Not him, he's not like that. He would definitely take a notice of that. He closed down his lesson on that day, no darsa kharij today, and he delivered a darsul akhlaq instead. You people are becoming religious scholars tomorrow, isn't it right? And you don't realize that you are stepping with your shoes over the shoes of others. Is that allowed in Islam? Tasarruf fi mal al-ghair. It's a very small thing. How many people step when you enter into Husainiya or Masjid? People are stepping over the shoes. Some people even pick up the shoes and put over the shoes of others. It's a very small thing. You are, you know, hurting the polish of his shoe. Did you take permission from him? That's wrong. Doesn't matter if it's small or big. Like I said in the beginning, for kufr and nifaq, there is no day of judgment. They have a direct flight. All the questions relate to the mu'mineen.
So we are the ones who need to be prepared for all that. So we find, please say salawat. That there are people who pick up even small things. You're walking over the street, isn't it right? Sometimes you find there are things fallen on the ground. So another very common thing related to hukuk al-nas. We're talking about mazalim al-ibad.
The zulm that people do towards each other. Some of the uncommon or common examples. Picking up things from that belong to mu'mineen.
First of all, if the rule of the thumb in Islam says, don't pick up anything from the ground. Just leave it there. You're not liable. If you happen to pick it up, then you become liable. And you are taking the liability on your neck.
If it belongs to a mu'min, a Muslim owner, now you need to announce that you have such and such thing in your possession for the next 1 year in the masjid or Husainiyya or Imam Bargah.
Next 1 year. You cannot use it, you cannot throw it away. If you can find the owner, find him, search and find him out and give it back to him because you picked it up. He should teach our children not to pick up the things from the ground.
That's not the right thing to do. And if you don't find him, then you have to give sadaqah. Later on, we give sadaqah on behalf of that mu'min in his proxy.
And if it remains in our neck, then we should remember the story of Ayatullah Sayyid Hashim al-Hattab, a great scholar. And one person came to him, he's a scholar, people come to him, isn't it right, that I gave some money to one of my friends before going for Hajj. Now that I came back from Hajj, he's not returning my money. He just denied, as if he doesn't have nothing from me. Can you please do some nasihat advice to him?
Ayatullah Hashim, Sayyid Hashim al-Hattab, he went there and he came out after a while,
and this guy was ready to give the amanat, the money back. You don't determine a person being good or bad, like I said earlier in my speech, is that through the prayers and fasting. You find out a person is mutadayyin and multazim and religious and pious through sitqul hadith and ada'ul amana.
How much he tells the truth whenever he speaks, and ada'ul amana, taking care of the amanat. You give loan to your friend and then you judge whether he's a religious person or not.
Not through the prayers and fasting.
So he agreed and he's ready to pay back. This guy was very surprised, you know, how did you make him agree? He said,
go and ask him yourself. He went inside And he talked to that person again. You didn't agree to pay me the money. All of a sudden you agreed. What happened?
He said, because Ayatollah said, Hashim al-Hattab, he told me his own story. He said, I was supposed to pay back, I was supposed to pay back 2 dirhams to a shopkeeper tomorrow. And I forgot.
Sometimes we are humans, we forget, isn't it right? Not an intentional negligence.
He forgot. And after a while he remembered, and then he took the money, he went there to the shop, and he found the shop is shut down, it's no longer there. And he asked from the people, they told him the guy died.
He says, what I did, I lifted up that, the shutter of the shop, and I slided those 2 dirhams under the door of the shop so that the inheritors may walk in and at least they can get the money. Inheritors are the ones who need to get the money of this dead person, Islamically. And he says, after that, I saw this dream that I'm crossing over the bridge of Sirat.
This is what we are discussing tonight, the bridge of Sirat. Isn't that right? And I saw Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam.
I said salam to him. And Mawla said to me, don't come to me.
Mawla, what did I do wrong? I have been believing in you, obeying you throughout my life. Is there any sin that I've committed? He said, if you did any sin, in other words, if you did any sin towards Allah, I can ask Allah to forgive your sins towards Allah and becoming a wasita and a means to get it forgiven, the hukukullah. But hukukun nas, it's up to you.
So, he thought to himself, well, Ayatollah Hashim al-Hattab, he thought to himself, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't have any loan to pay back to somebody. It's nothing to worry about towards the people.
And he said, I started to move over towards over the bridge of Sirat. And all of a sudden, there is this flame of fire appears. And this guy, this non-Muslim guy, the shopkeeper, he rose up.
Burning in the flame of fire, but he rose up. And he said, remember, you were supposed to pay me back those 2 dirhams? He said, but I did.
No, you were supposed to come tomorrow, not later on. He said, yeah, I forgot. He said, okay, pay it back to me right now. How can I pay back to you right now? I don't have it right now. He said, okay, if you don't have it right now, then let me take it from you. I will just place my 5 fingers on your shoulder and I'll take those 2 dirhams, equal amount of 2 dirhams from your existence.
He said, I removed my shirt away, let him place his 5 fingers over my shoulder.
And this guy who is now ready to pay back the amanat of this brother who left for Hajj, now this guy is ready to pay back. He says that Ayatollah Hashim al-Haddad, even in front of me, he removed his shirt and showed me, and I could still see the mark of the burning over his shoulders with the 5 fingers.
That's why he became, he's ready to pay back straight away.
We are silly. We are silly because we don't know the aftermath of our actions, what we are doing towards each other. Borrow a book from somebody and you never gave it back to the person. The person is waiting and waiting. These are very small things that people don't even bother to think on those lines. But like I said, hisab is for the mu'mineen.
Especially in this night when we are talking about mazalim al-ibad,
there are so many mazalim and majazir and massacres being committed on the planet. Isn't it right? Innocent civilians are being killed. And there's only one leader in the world who asks us and tells us about our social and political obligations. There's only one hulqum, there's only one throat on the planet from where the voice of political and social obligations are sounded and taught to the entire ummah.
Isn't it right? The throat of the leader. How many atrocities are,
you keep on praying and fasting, very, very good. But it's not going to change the destiny. That's your individual worship. Although in the real, real sense, nothing is individual. Even prayers has a social and political aspect. Right from the beginning when you say, Allahu Akbar, you are negating all the false gods and the tawaghit and our desires and all the idols and our whims and wishes. So nothing is individual in the real, real sense. But that's what people perceive it to be religious, to be individual, and that's why they do it easily. When you ask them to do their social and political obligations, you find the ta'wil and tawji and excuses being furnished. Somehow they can save their life. They think they would save their life. Well, life is in the hands of Allah, not the humans, not the enemies. And you talk about how many people come out on the Yawm al-Quds, isn't it right? That's the litmus test. That's the litmus test how much you love Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, that you are ready to announce and to condemn the atrocities committed by the Yazidis of today. That's the That's the applied science and practical implication of the teachings of Ashura, of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, that we apply. Mawla Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam did this and this and this, very good. What am I supposed to do? Is there anything I'm supposed to do? He's so great. Is there anything I'm supposed to do? How many people are telling you what you are supposed to do so you can follow their footsteps? And we don't give a hard time to the Imam of our time. Isn't that the key question? Talking Islam in a theoretical way, not obliging way, just as a theory. This personality did this and this personality did that. They're very good. They are role models. But what do we learn from them being role models? That's not mentioned. This is what is mentioned by the leader, and this is the reason why the enemies oppose him more than anyone else. Isn't it right? So don't think it's not going to be asked, our behavior towards the Islamic Ummah, our behavior towards the Mustad'afin, our behavior towards the oppressed masses. How many people are suffering in the jails? Supporting one mazloom person is superior than your prayers and your fasting. And not supporting a mazloom person is not going to make you muqarrab and close to Allah with your prayers and fasting. Actually, it's going to take you out of the limits and definition of Islam. Isn't it right? Man sami'a munadiyan yunadi. Prophet said in his famous hadith, whoever hears an announcer announcing, anyone, any Muslim announcing, in other words, Ya lil Muslimin, O Muslims, come for my help. Sometimes you say it orally, sometimes your entire existence is speaking that loud and clear. Isn't it right? With your actions, with your situation. That's exactly what the situation. Those poor people don't have the resources to speak orally and let their voice be heard orally to us. That doesn't matter. And Prophet says, whoever hears a Muslim person calling for help, falam yujibhu, and it didn't respond positively, falaysa bi Muslimin, he's not a Muslim. Keep your prayers and fasting with you, Your Hajj, your Khums, your charity, whatever, keep it with you. Allah doesn't stand in need of nothing of those things. These things have been done so much more by the Wahhabis. You go to their mosques are way more beautiful than our masajid. Synagogues are even more expensive than the Wahhabi mosques. Isn't that right? Because they have more money. Forget about that. It's not going to save us unless we give more importance to the social obligations as we give towards the individual obligations and the political obligations of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam over our individual obligations. This is the Islam of Ahlul Bayt. Imam Ali never turned his blind eye towards the zulm committed over the innocent people. That's not the Imam Ali alayhim salam that we believe in. So we find that this is the situation that was causing Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam to sacrifice his life and to make it clear by doing his divine responsibility, spread the awareness in the entire ummah and for the rest of the generations to understand that there is no room in Islam to endorse the zalim over his zulm.
That's what he did.
That even a person like Imam Hussein, who is the leader, one of the two leaders of the youth of paradise, is ready to give away his very life.
And now he serves as a torch of guidance for us. We can never endorse a zalim. Not even a kid from Imam Hussein's camp supported Yazid or asked to support Yazid.
You know, Dad, I'm dying of hunger and thirst. What's wrong if you just accept Yazid and do the bay'at and oath of allegiance towards Yazid for like 5 minutes? At least I'm going to get some water.
Anybody said that on Imam Hussein's camp?
Impossible to imagine those kinds of things. It's unimaginable for the children of Imam Hussein to even think of that. Forget about the elders. What is doable by some of our religious people is unthinkable by the kids of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
This what? Because we separated the religion from politics. And this cost Imam Hussein alayhi salam his life. Our behavior like this, separating religion from politics, praying, people of Kufa praying behind Musa ibn Aqil, they did pray. They were not tariq us-salat, but not supporting the walayat of Hussein alayhi salam, supporting the walayat and governance concept of Ibn Ziyad and Yazid. This behavior, not doing the political duties towards the walayat, caused life, cost him life, cost him the life of his kids,
including Aliyin al-Akbar alayhi salam.
It's not a small issue. Shahadat of Aliyin al-Akbar alayhi salam is not an ordinary issue. It's a very big issue.
Because first of all, who has a son like Aliyin al-Akbar so he may even end up comparing? Who can compare? There's a scholar, you know, there was somebody comparing in front of a scholar, Ayatullah Mustambit. Someone comparing in front of him, Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam with Salman al-Farisi alayhi salam. And Ayatullah Mustambit, he saw in his dream,
he saw Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam. And Amir al-Mumin said about this comparison. And he said, if my Abbas can have a look towards the world, he can convert the whole world into Salman.
So who can parallel the members of Ahlul Bayt? It's an insult. It's an insult for a person to compare anyone with the members of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Ali ibn al-Akbar is also part of Ahlul Bayt. Isn't it right? Imam Hussein alayhi salam says that Allahumma shahad ala ha'ula al-qawm.
Oh my Lord, be a witness on these people.
As he was sending Ali Akbar towards the battlefield, look at the statement of Imam Hussein, full of divine wisdom. And look at what he's telling and teaching us. You know, he says, oh my Lord, be a witness against these people. Because faqad baraza ilayhim ghulamun ashbahul nas khalqan wa khulqan wa mantiqan bi rasulik. Because that young person, man is going towards them, you know, who is the most resembling person to Rasulullah, to your prophet, in terms of his akhlaq, his morality, his appearance, his khilqat and appearance, and his talk.
وَكُنَّا إِذَا اشْتَقْنَا إِلَىٰ زِيَارَةِ نَبِيِّكَ نَظَرْنَا إِلَيْهِ.
Whenever we were keen and eager towards doing the ziyarat of your prophet, we would look towards him. Imam Hussein used to do the ziyarat of Rasulullah by looking at the face of Ali Akbar. Who can compare himself? Who can be compared to the greatness of Ali Akbar? The most resembling person with Rasulullah. Imam Hussein had a muazzin in his camp, Hajjaj ibn Masruq, a Sha'bi. That muazzin was not asked to give the adhan on the day of Ashura. Instead, Ali ibn al-Akbar is asked to give the adhan. Ali Akbar says the adhan in the lahja, in the tone of Rasulullah.
you know, this is the greatness of Ali Akbar, is saying the Adhan, and the Fajr prayers happens after that, where Imam al-Hussein is leading the prayers, and all the Banu Hashim are still alive, and all the Ashab and companions are, all of them are still alive at that time of Fajr. And we find that when after the prayers ends, we find that all the approximately 40 to 50 companions become shaheed, because Amr ibn Sa'd, la'anatullah alayhi, is the one who throws the first arrow against Imam al-Hussein's camp by saying, be a witness towards Khalifa Yazid. I am the first person who threw arrow against Hussein. As soon as he said that, 4,000 people sent their arrows also over against Imam Hussein's camp. 40 to 50 ashab of Imam Hussein alayhi salam became shaheed right then. And some of the scholars say, the first among the Banu Hashim, the first person among the family of Ahlul Bayt who was sent by Imam al-Hussein was Ali al-Akbar. So Imam al-Hussein took a lead over the rest, even in this khair and goodness, sending his own son first to become shaheed. And he was sent, he went to take permission. Imam asked him to take permission from his aunt, Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha, and the sisters. He comes inside. Some of the narration says the ladies inside the tent surrounded Ali Akbar inside the tent. Irham ghurbatana, have mercy over our loneliness. Imam al-Hussein replied, said, فَإِنَّهُ مَمْسُوسٌ فِي ذَاتِ اللَّهِ وَشَهِيدٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. This is the azmat of Ali Akbar. He is mamsoos in the zaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his essence, and shaheed and martyr in the way of Allah. Ali Akbar is now bidding farewell from the ladies and from Hazrat Zainab. He comes out, amama of Rasulullah over his head. And now Ali Akbar is sent. Ali Akbar is sent towards the maqtal. And the narration says that Ali Akbar says something into the ear of Imam al-Hussein. فَبَكَى بُكَاءً عَالِيًا. Imam Hussein started to cry with a loud voice. Some of the times on Ashura, Imam al-Hussein cried with a loud voice. This is one of those occasions where Mawla started to cry with a loud voice when Zainab al-Salam asked him the reason why he's crying. And he replies back that it's a tradition that the father does his wasiyat and will towards the son. But today the son is doing wasiyat and will towards the father. Imam Hussein is crying with a loud voice. What happened to the heart of Imam al-Hussein? We can't understand. Ali Akbar, some of the scholars say, Ali Akbar was asked, as long as you can, keep on turning your face towards your dad, keep on doing that. Imam Hussein wanted to do the ziyarat of Ali Akbar as long as he can. Who can understand the pain of Imam al-Hussein? No one has a son like him, like Ali Akbar. And even Ali Akbar himself, you know, he doesn't have a son like Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar, when he departs, we find he hears somebody chasing and coming behind him. As he turns around, he finds it's my father. He just bid farewell to his father, but his elderly father is still walking behind him. Obviously, even Ali Akbar cannot. He doesn't have a son like himself to understand the pain of Mawla Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Ali Akbar is sent. Ali Akbar is sent. The narration says, فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ نَظْرَةَ آئِسٍ مِّنْهُ. Sometimes, you know, the father looks towards the son with mahabbat and love. Sometimes the father looks towards the son with hasrat. Sometimes the father looked towards the son with the looking of disappointment. This is what Imam Hussein did, because he knows that Ali Akbar is not gonna remain alive. So Imam al-Hussein, the narration tells that nazara ilayhi nazrata a'isim minhu. Ali Akbar is sent towards the maqtal. Hazrat Sakina bintul Hussein, she says, I saw my dad standing over a high area looking towards Ali Akbar. Sometimes the face of my dad was turning yellow. Sometimes the face of my dad was turning red.
What much pain! Your own son, who is resembling to Rasulullah, is being slaughtered. Then we find when Ali Akbar, after the battle, after some battle, he comes back to his dad and asks for some water. How can Imam Hussein give water when there is no water? Al-Aqsa qad qatalani. And you know, he's so much thirsty. The narration says, when Imam al-Hussein had showed his tongue to Ali Akbar, he replies back, "Dad, your tongue, you're more thirsty. In other words, your tongue is more dry than my tongue." Obviously, Imam al-Hussein is more thirsty than Ali Akbar. And some of the scholars say, Imam Hussein had moved his tongue when you were thirsty. Naturally, you move your tongue in your mouth to wet your mouth. He moved his tongue so much that blood was coming out of his tongue. And Ali Akbar, he was consoled. Imam comforted him by saying, "Soon Rasulullah," in other words, is going to provide you the drink of Kawthar. Ali Akbar goes back towards the Maktal. He did his battle. Then he falls over the ground. This is the first shaheed. This is the only shaheed in Karbala, that Sayyida Zainab took herself ahead of Imam al-Hussein to the Maktal, next to Ali Akbar. This is the only person for which Hazrat Zainab did that. Look at the greatness of Hazrat Zainab, because she knew, maybe one of the reasons is this, she knew how much Imam al-Hussein loves his son. She wants to comfort Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. It's very hard to have a young boy and young son slaughtered in front of the father. Then when somebody slaughtered a camel, then you know, nahar of the camel, and this guy came, I opened up the heart, you know, the liver, and I found that there's a hole inside it. He came to Rasulullah and complained, said that. Prophet said, "Did you kill the baby of the camel in front of the camel?" Obviously, it's so hard even for the camel to tolerate its own baby to be slaughtered, you know, in front of them. Obviously, it is going to do that. We find Imam al-Hussein, when he reaches there, Hazrat Zainab is already present there. Narration says, Imam drops himself over the ground of Karbala before reaching that place. He's so hastily coming to come next to his son. Earlier, Ali Akbar was comforted by Imam Hussein. Look at how now Ali Akbar is comforting his dad. In the final moments, Ali Akbar says to his father, "Hada jaddi Rasulullah." This is my grandfather Rasulullah. Yaqra'uka salam. He says salam to you. And the Prophet is saying, "Ajjil al-quduma ilayna." Be quick in coming to us. Obviously, Prophet is coming with the drink of Kawthar for Akbar. And we find that Ali Akbar had a lot of pain in his chest. Lot of pain inside his chest, because a part of the spear that broke stuck into his chest. How can Imam al-Hussein tolerate his own son in the pain? Such sort of pain. Now Imam al-Hussein is about to take that part out of the chest of his young son. What a great sacrifice and what a great test of Imam al-Hussein. I would definitely like to say to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, when you were slaughtering your son Ismail, you were blindfolded. You were blindfolded. Please come and see Imam al-Hussein when his son is being sacrificed. Imam Hussein is not blindfolded. He is embracing all that. And we find as soon as Mawla takes out the part of the spear, obviously, look at how much suffering Imam Hussein. The narration says, فَوَضَعَ خَدَّهُ عَلَىٰ خَدِّهِ. Mawla put his cheek over the cheek of Ali Akbar and said, عَلَىٰ الدُّنْيَا بَعْدَكَ الْعَفَىٰ. عَلَىٰ الدُّنْيَا پَيْ خَاكُ هُتِ.
على لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
الإلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Let's read the آية الكريمة for all the mu'mineen, especially those who have sponsored all these majalis, provided the food or any other service in the love of Abi Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam, and all those mu'mineen and mu'minat who are ill, and those who have requested for dua, and those and the mustadafeen and mahrumeen and mazloomeen in the Islamic Ummah, especially those mujahideen who are defending the haram of Sayyida Zainab salamullah alayha. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Amman yujibul muttarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifus su'. Amman yujibul muttarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifus su'. Amman yujibul muttarra idha دعاه ويكشف السوء. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. يا حسين.
يا حسين. يا حسين. يا حسين. يا حسين.